Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have two excellent panelists. I have back for the second day in a row, I have Andrew After Dark, or Dark Mode Ore. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Sorry, I goofed up your nickname there. I'm trying to make it a thing, and it's not working very well today for me. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I want a nickname.
Okay. We'll figure it out. If you have suggestions, listeners, we look forward to your letters.
I really don't want the listeners to suggest nicknames. That can only end badly.
Well, they can suggest. I mean, we don't have to accept any of them. That's the thing.
I mean, I love our listeners very much. They're phenomenal. And we love getting feedback from them, but I feel like allowing listeners to pick a nickname can only end badly.
Oh, no, I didn't say they could pick. I said they could suggest. Okay. We don't have to listen to any of those suggestions. Me of,
there was a thing. You're going to love this. I'm sorry to derail the show so
early.
You're
really not.
But I'm really so not. But there was a thing in the UK where there was a public vote on a new ship.
Oh, no.
Would you like to know what my fellow countrymen voted to name the new ship?
I'm going to guess Boaty McBoatface.
It was Boaty McBoatface.
Well, yeah.
You're welcome.
I can totally see that happening. That's why this isn't an internet poll. This is just, hey, listeners, yes. If you have an idea, you may suggest it. Maybe we will take that suggestion. Maybe we won't. Stay tuned to find out Charlotte's nickname.
It's not Boaty McBoatface.
It will not be. I guarantee you that. So, that aside, Andrew, I actually wanted to start with you. You have an interesting article from the Halide developers about the iPhone 11 camera.
Yeah, so Sebastian DeWeth put together this really interesting blog post about the iPhone camera. As Kelly mentioned, he is one of the creators of Halide, and it's probably one of my favorite camera apps because, believe me, I've tried a lot of them. So
I would upgrade you've tried a lot of them to your hobby is testing out new camera apps.
Yes. So one of the new features he talked about in the iPhone 11 is Smart HDR. Now, previous iPhones, I think the iPhone, I don't know if the iPhone 10 did or maybe just the 10S, but it has this thing called Smart HDR. So basically, HDR is when you take a photo and it takes that photo at different exposures. So you can get some nice, even highlights, shadows, midtones. And with the XS and XR cameras, 10S and 10R,
thank you.
Smart HDR, he calls it, it was a bit heavy-handed at times. Because sometimes it failed, or sometimes the picture was overexposed. Mm-hmm. So Smart HDR isn't new with the iPhone 11. It just fixes some of those issues.
It's just smarter HDR.
Yes. Now, it also has a wider range of ISO range. He says it has gains of 33% and 42% on the main camera and telephoto camera. Mm-hmm. And ISO is basically a measurement of the sensitivity to light. So if you're maybe shooting in a low light situation, you want to have a high ISO.
Right. So it lets in lots of light when the shutter opens to expose enough light so that in the old days when you had to do this on film, there would be enough light that you could actually see whatever it was you were taking the picture of.
Yes. And another thing is called selective post-processing. And this is a pretty interesting feature. I'm not sure if this has to do with deep fusion or maybe it's something else. But basically, when your iPhone 11 takes a picture, it breaks down your image into certain areas and it can selectively apply noise reduction to specific areas. And this is good, for example, for portraits. So you can get some really good detail in skin texture, hair, clothing, things like that. Apple calls it photo segmentation. So basically, your photos, portrait photos with this will look better. It will have more detail when you zoom in, because in previous cameras like mine, when you zoom into it, you can, the details are kind of muddy.
Yeah.
So selective post-processing brings some of those details out, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. I can tell you what I've noticed. I have an 11 Pro, not the Max, but the Pro. And what I've noticed with the three cameras is more often than not, like regardless of the amount of light in the situation, whether it's a well-lit photo or not so well-lit photo, what I've picked up is that it's like what I get from the camera just by pushing the button is much closer to what I see when I look at whatever that is. Sometimes in night mode, if it's very dark, you get that sort of 3 second, the night mode processing thing when it's pretty dark. And those pictures are much brighter than what I'm actually seeing when I'm standing there taking the photo. But in just low light, not necessarily darkness, but in lower light, it basically looks like what I'm seeing. So, I went to Halloween karaoke last night.
Oh, my goodness.
We got some pictures, you know, of people in costumes and different things in very low lighting in the karaoke suite. And it looked like
sounding croaky, listeners, by the way.
And it looked like it looked like what I could see with my eye. Like that picture was very close to what it looked like to stand there in the room and see those people. So that's for me one of the biggest things I've noticed. And he talks about comparing this to a digital SLR, right, Andrew?
Mm-hmm. In certain situations, yeah. So these are big improvements.
Yeah. Like, it's really starting to stack up.
It's pretty staggering, because I have a 10R.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the picture quality I'm getting out of that and the video quality I'm getting out of that is pretty astounding.
Yes. It's very good.
Right. It's really very, very good. I've been really impressed with it, and I've really enjoyed taking photos with it. I don't know if I've taken that many in the... Yeah, I probably have taken some in low light as well. And actually, everything I've taken has been, you know, never mind my photographic skills, which are nowhere near Andrew's. But, you know, the basic quality that is coming out from that the phone is in control of, mm-hmm. Is very noticeable and very high. So I'm amazed that you said it straight away the minute you started taking photos with your 11 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew's noticed it as well, reading, you know, doing the research as someone who understands this field better than you and I, Kelly, I think it's fair
to
say.
Absolutely.
It's really astounding. And I think I was saying this to Brian, the name AirPods Pro didn't make much sense to me,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't understand how these devices, that you're not going to use them in a studio.
Right.
I don't really understand how they can be a pro device. Whereas I can understand how this phone with this camera capability is a pro device. Because we've already seen music videos and shot on these devices,
mm-hmm.
because of the camera quality.
Right.
So I can see how Apple is now able to brand these things a pro device. But
yeah.
You know, because, and that is, let's be honest, all down to the camera.
Yeah. My official review of the 11 Pro, after I'd had it for about a week, somebody asked me about my phone and how I liked it. And I said, well, it used to be that I bought a phone that could take pictures. And with the 11 Pro, I bought a camera that takes phone calls.
Bingo.
Like that's, for me, that's the fundamental shift.
Yep, yep, yep.
And part of that, like I said, the thing that blows me away about this is not just, you know, we're entering the dark times and I'm trying to get cool pictures of the Halloween decorations in front of my house and I can stand out there when it's a lot darker now than I could with my old phone. But Also, you know, like I said, like I've taken pictures of the full moon. Like I just wanted to see like how that would work because there were clouds sort of moving in front of the full moon and I thought it would look cool. And I tried to take a picture and it worked. And you can zoom way in on the photo and it doesn't turn into just a bunch of garbage. And it's unbelievable. And the like the sky is the right color and the moon is not just a blur of a blob of light in the middle. And you can still see, like, I wasn't pointed 100% at the sky, so you can see, like, the treetops at the bottom of the photo. And, like, it looked like what I could see as I stood there trying to take the photo. It was amazing.
Yeah, but I think your point is quite a prescient one, actually. You know, it's a camera that takes phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called a pro. Not everybody needs it.
Right.
Right? Actually, I probably would have got a pro because, you know, we've got videos on the Mac Observer YouTube channel. I would have liked that for shooting. That's a really good thing for shooting on the go.
Yes.
But does my mum need that?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Does she need a very good camera to take photos of the new grandchild? Yes.
Yes.
And the 11, non-pro, even just the 11, will take very, very good pictures.
Right, exactly. This is the point.
Yeah.
So the Apple's cameras now on their base phones, Andrew, shout if you think I'm talking rubbish here. the entry-level phone, iPhone 11 camera, is good enough for most people for most pictures. And that's why the pro definition of this phone now makes sense, whereas I didn't think it made sense on the AirPods.
Yeah, I think... Absolutely. And I actually haven't had a chance to go head-to-head with anybody who has an 11. The most of the people that I've spoken with lately who have a new phone have a Pro or a Pro Max. So I haven't had a chance to sort of stack them up and see. But by and large, even like the photos I've seen online, you know, from an 11 camera, people talking about like, here's the picture that I took with my old phone and then I got an 11 and here's that same photo again. You know, I do have certain pictures I take like that, like, because every time we get a new camera and an iPhone, it's supposed to be even better in low light than the last one. And I'm always like, you know, two behind because I would get one every 2 years. So, you know, then I would go take that picture of that neon sign I really like, or, you know, the next trip to Disneyland, I want to take pictures like in some of the low lit stuff with no flash or anything and see how they work. And those are the kind of things that I have that same picture, you know, a bunch of different times because I took it with all my different cameras to see how well the low light was now compared to what it was on my old phone. And I'm really excited to do a bunch of that with this because I think the difference, the jump here between my 8 and the 11 Pro is dramatic. Like, it's always been a jump, but this feels like a huge jump. And, you know, like Andrew said when I was reading the article, that was one of the things that I noticed was somebody who knows an awful lot about photography talking about how this is the point where there's situations where you don't need the digital camera, like a separate camera device, you know, unit, you know, to take the pictures that you want to take. So that evolution to me is very interesting. And we will talk more about that here at Mac Observer as we leave the house occasionally. It is a thing that happens. And get more photos and talk to you more about using them. And Andrew will definitely talk to us more about camera apps. Apparently, I'm going to have to get some suggestions so I can get the most out of my new camera phone. My new camera that takes phone calls. That's more to the point. If you have one and want to talk about it, if you have photography apps that you like that you want to make sure Andrew knows about, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Now, our other topic today is an interesting thing, Charlotte, that you discovered where Vint Cerf made a list of interest of like notable internet moments
yes,
now that the internet is
50. It's a wonderful article. He's a VP and chief internet evangelist at Google, also known as God of the Internet.
Yes.
He picked, it was up because yesterday, for those that don't know, was 50 years. Well, people are sort of referring it to as 50 years of the internet. That's not quite right. It's a kind of crude way of putting it. It's basically 50 years since the first packet was sent. It's 50 years of computer-to-computer communication, isn't it?
Yes.
And which is an amazing historic moment in technology. Hello, world, and all that. But so, and Bint Cerf, being the internet godfather that he is, laid out 17 of his most memorable moments from those 50 years. And it started, of course, with October 29, 1969, when the first packet was sent, which he said pioneered our understanding of operational packet switching technology, which prepared us for the subsequent development of the internet. There were some other ones that we enjoyed reading and jumped out to us. There was in 1971... kind of networked electronic mail and the development of ARPANET. Mm-hmm. We also liked, there was a one that when we got it to consumers in when I was four in December 1991, the invention of the World Wide Web, which introduced a new way of sharing information. And then in 1993, Andrew, were you born by this point?
Yeah, I was born in 91.
There you go. So Andrew was born along with the World Wide Web. Oh my God, that's just really freaked me out, actually.
Yeah, I'll tell you how old I was later. And yeah,
we'll deal with that in a minute. And then 2 years later, 1993, the Mosaic browser was released to the general public, meaning people could actually get online and kind of start exploring this whole brand new world. Here's one I quite liked as well. April 23rd, 2005, the first YouTube video was uploaded.
Yes.
Do we remember what that was?
I have no idea what it was.
I believe it was a man at a zoo. And I think it's still on there.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
So, yeah. That's what I think, if I remember correctly, having just read a book on this. The next, and he ends by looking at the next 50 years, 2019 to 2069, in which he says, in the next 5 decades, I believe that computer communications will become completely natural. Like using electricity, you won't think it anymore.
Yeah.
Access will be totally improved. Think thousands of low Earth orbit satellites, and speeds will be higher with 5G and optical fiber, and billions of network devices of increased interactive capabilities in voice, gesture, and artificial intelligent systems.
Yeah.
Which is, look, when Vint Cerf says stuff about the internet, you listen. And it's a kind of wonderful reflection on where we've come from and where we're going in this thing that has had so much influence on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Will continue to have so much influence on everyone's life.
Oh, certainly.
And yeah, look, it's a nice thing, because so often it's easy to be negative about the internet and the things it's wrought on everything, from kind of making us more isolated to viciousness on social media to fraud to all these kind of things that we know they're the negative consequences of the internet. But also looking through this, it kind of reminds you quite what a staggering human achievement this technology is. And it was nice to spend a few minutes reading the piece and reflect on it.
Yeah. And it's also when I look at things like this, you know, with dates in it,
right,
this is always something I sort of mark against my own life, like, oh, well, this is when I was born, and this is when I graduated high school, and this is when I, you know, moved here or got married or whatever. And looking at how, like, I can measure my life in those milestones and then compare that, you know, that list of dates in my mind to something like this and see, you know, well, that's when I got my first email address. You know, that's when I got married. That's, you know, this particular time. And see how these things measure along in my life, you know, and looking at that sort of thing. So first things first, I've been on the internet a really long time.
you're out there, Kelly.
I remember the internet before Google. That's how long I've been on the internet. People going,
I remember
Yahoo is weird. Yahoo is weird, and like there's this new search engine you should use instead because it actually gives you good search results, and Yahoo's results are kind of lame, so you should use this other one instead. Oh, okay, all right, well, try it.
I remember Ask Jeeves. How about that?
Oh, yeah, I remember Ask Jeeves.
I used to love Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, Ask Jeeves was a good one.
So hang on. I don't mean... Andrew, have you never been alive without the internet?
Well, it took a while for us to get our first computers, but as far as years of being alive, I guess I grew up with it.
Huh. Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally remember my family getting the first computer in the home.
Oh, yeah. So do I. Yeah. Because it wasn't like, oh, I remember, you know, getting this computer that replaced. No, I remember the first one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I've had an email address long enough that I remember asking people for their email addresses, and sometimes people would say, "What's email?" That's how long I've had an email address.
I remember. Do you remember the disk, the free disk you used to get to have AOL. To sign up to the internet?
Oh yeah. And one of the first really massively popular websites was somebody who kept finding creative uses for all those disks.
What?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And now look. Now I have unlimited 4G on my mm-hmm. phone that's basically a camera.
Yeah. My pocket computer. I think my first phone was more like on paper when you looked at the specs. My first iPhone, which was the iPhone 3G, had an order of magnitude more technology than my first computer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But that's like saying, like, our iPhones are more powerful than the rockets that send Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to the moon.
And retrieved them. That's the thing. Sent them to the moon and brought them back.
Back home.
That's the magic.
Point.
Yeah.
Good point. I just really enjoyed reading it and... just kind of reflect, because it's kind of, you kind of think that actually, in a way, the story of Silicon Valley is often we think of these tech bros and kind of the negative things that sometimes in some ways they have wrought on society. Mm-hmm. And so to have someone like Vince Cerf, a kind of wise older figure, reflecting, it was a really... It's a few minutes well spent to read his reflections.
Yes, and particularly because we are still in an era where people are alive who vividly remember this sort of stuff. And
right,
you know, at that will change, but at least for right now, getting to get some perspective from some of those folks is always a good idea. So it's good stuff. Yeah, definitely go check out the article because it's. It's some perspective from somebody who's literally been there from the beginning, which is pretty great. So
Charlotte, going back to the beginning, do you know what that first packet they sent was?
Ooh, I don't. Do we know?
Yeah, so I don't remember the people involved, but one guy tried to send the word login over the ARPANET, and it sent L, and it sent O, and then the whole thing crashed.
Right. That's a great story. And so it's sent lol.
Yep.
That sounds like the internet I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of works.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just remembered the noise.
The modem noise?
Dial up.
The noise.
Yes. The dial up modem noise.
Oh, the noise.
Yeah. I remember getting to mail away a coupon because of the interesting timing when I bought one of my computers, and I got to get mail away for an upgrade so that my modem would be 33.6 instead of 28.8. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was once I had a computer and not just an internet terminal that I was using to telnet into everything and read my email in Pine. So, yeah.
You were living the dream.
I really was. Because that only had a 300 baud modem. And so getting to go to 28.8 was very exciting. This has been Throwback Thursday a day early on the Mac Observer. First Daily Observations podcast. Way Back Wednesday, wasn't that where that all started?
We'll take it.
Yeah, this is Way Back Wednesday on the Daily Observations podcast. It has been fun being here with both of you, regardless of how much of the internet you remember. Andrew, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thank you so much for dropping by. This was a fun
thanks
article.
Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I cannot wait to hear about your Halloween costumes. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.